You're listening to a Stranger podcast, www.thestranger.com.
Hello, dear listener. Thank you again for downloading the Dear Science podcast. Joining me this week is David Schmader, associate editor here at The Stranger, Last Days columnist.
Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for coming. We're here to talk about raw milk. And I'm letting you guys know, beyond having a little bit of raw milk in me, I have no coffee, no tea, no caffeine. After a couple complaints, but me talking at a pace that would really rival an auctioneer, I'm just going to take a deep breath. Let you actually understand the words that are coming forth from my mouth. So I wrote a column on raw milk, and to sort of spike things off, I brought a container of raw milk. Now, in the column, I tried a different kind of raw milk, and I got ill. So we're going to try a slightly different brand of it. I'm not going to even disclose the brand in case this one also makes me ill. But I think I've convinced David to try some. Are you willing?
I'm not concerned about the brand. I'm concerned about the source. It's goat milk.
It's goat milk. And the other one was goat milk as well. Apparently, raw cow milk cannot be sold where we live, but goat milk can be. And it tasted good. It did not taste like horrifyingly gamey or anything really offensively bad. In fact, it was like a really good glass of milk.
Yeah. And before we dive too far into this, I'd like to just read the instigating question because sure. There's a lot of information there. Okay. So this is a question from this week's column, if you haven't read already. Dear Science, I've heard that commercial cow's milk has some percentage of pus and blood allowed. Do you know if that's true? I'm assuming pasteurization removes any health risks from these contaminants. So that leads me to wonder how safe raw, unpasteurized milk is. Is a raw milk mocha a health risk?
So the way I started answering was saying that all milk has white blood cells in it, and that's actually like an important part of how milk does its job. This is one of the reasons why breastfeeding a child is beneficial, is that it's a gift of the mother's immune system to the newborn, whether you're a newborn.
This person's concern wasn't white blood cells, it was pus.
So pus basically is white blood cells. Now, there is a condition that can happen to particularly farm-raised animals called mastitis, where there's an infection of the udder, and that can actually put in like bacteria and white blood cells and all of that. And it can happen, and this is, again, one of the reasons why I think, in general, dairy is probably one of those things, if you're on the bubble with the organic, non-antibiotic-laced, like, spending a little bit extra for your food items, milk and dairy products are right up there with things like apples and grapes and other food items where it's probably worth the extra money. Whereas, like, I'm not really sure of the merits of organic Rice Krispies over regular Rice Krispies. I'm not sure if that's, like, an extra $2 is well spent. But organic milk, you know, the extra buck or two per gallon, I think, is a good idea because of things like that. And indeed, pasteurization, which is, like, a really quick heating of the milk, kills off all those guys. So it's not the ideal thing. Clearly, you'd want to be drinking milk from a healthy animal, not an ill animal. But it all comes down to how much you trust the farmer. And so pasteurization is kind of like the safety net. Make sure that what gets in the container, even if it was contaminated, isn't anymore.
And so it would be more about the farmer's handling and not the barista's handling of raw milk?
Well, that's the thing. The time I got the most ill from a dairy product was pasteurized milk. So it wasn't the farmer's fault. It was the smoothie bar's fault, probably giving me Staph aureus. And this is, again, one of the reasons why it's probably bad to really pay attention in science classes. I was sitting on an airplane getting more and more ill and was able to actually, like, go through the flow tree and figure out exactly what by my symptoms and the timing and, like, what I had eaten, exactly what it was, and I had basically eaten snot. Someone had sneezed and then made a smoothie for me and then got me horribly, horribly ill. So I don't recommend that either. So again, if you see a restaurant, yeah, there's, and we all kind of know the restaurants we eat at that are sort of transgressively dangerous, you enjoy it. So
those would keep your raw milk consumption to
places you trust, even pasteurized milk.
I see these more and more, like raw milk lattes on whatever day. What's the draw? Is it just fetishization of organic stuff?
I think so. I mean, I was unwilling to go and really troll through a lot of the websites. It's something that just gets me more and more aggravated and takes months off my life reading all the stuff. Raw milk, there's pasteurization really doesn't hurt the nutrients. In fact, this raw milk we have in front of us, I can guarantee you, has less nutrients than the pasteurized milk that I normally drink, just because it's in a clear or translucent plastic container. So light's incredibly destructive to the whole class of vitamins in milk, including all the B vitamins. And so those milk in that translucent plastic tubs, beyond being not so great for the environment, actually destroys a lot of the good nutritional value of milk. And so you're much better off buying milk in the cardboard paper containers, which are do not allow the light to get in there. And so, you know, there's sort of things like that. You know, that is just something definitively makes the milk more nutritious.
So it's not going to be, there's no argument that you're getting more nutrients with raw milk. Absolutely not.
No. I mean, I would say that there's no real reason to believe that. Now, of course, it's different if you're breastfeeding a child, but this isn't really what we're talking about. I think the raw milk, every time I tried raw milk, it's tasted delicious. I'll say that for it. Better than, like, the, you know, Safeway brand industrial grade milk. And so, I'm not sure if it tastes any better than, like, really good local organic dairy. You know, the best dairy I've had is, like, little towns in Wisconsin where it's, like, the co-op's milk. And that's pasteurized and homogenized and everything, but it's delicious because the cows are actually on grass eating something real. Whereas, you know, like, I don't know. But beyond that, I don't know. I guess it's a feeling like it's natural or...
Right.
And it gets in the whole fetishization of natural. Like, again, like, the idea of, like, why, you know, you go to the grocery store and there's, like, organic Rice Krispies, and I'm not quite sure what that means, or like organic Cheetos. I saw organic Cheetos and I was about to cry. Like, I have no idea. Like, there's no reason, you know, there's really no reason. If you're going for a Cheeto, you want that, like, Dayglo orange, like, never existed in nature. It's kind of like blue Kool-Aid, like, or like blue Gatorade. Like, that's not supposed to exist in nature. There's nothing that grows that's that color, either that color orange or that color, you know, like. And if it was, there's something that naturally grew the Cheeto orange, it would not be edible. It would be like some creature trying to announce that you were going to have, like, horrible liver failure if you ate it. So I mean, and I'm not, like, totally anti, like, I like junk food myself, but I think you should just embrace the junky junk foodness of junk food. And so in the same sort of way, like, raw milk, I mean, I love milk. I still drink a disgusting amount given I'm almost 30 years old, and but I definitely want to pasteurize just because I want to live. and I've been lucky so far. Actually, milk can really carry horrible, horrible illnesses. I mean, partly because it's, you know, think about what milk is. It's like the perfect nutrient broth.
That's what you mentioned in your column. Like, milk is particularly dangerous food precisely because it is so nutritious.
Yeah, and so, like...
So nutritious foods are more susceptible to contaminants?
Yeah, well, it's not even they're more susceptible to contaminants, but once a contaminant gets in there, okay. It has everything it needs. Because think about what milk's purpose is. It's just to, like, nourish a child up to the, you know, for years, potentially. Right. It's same thing, like, that's why eggs are so dangerous. Like, eggs, because you have everything that a bacteria would need to do its thing. So, you know, there's this, like, weird experience we've done where a single salmonella bacteria getting into milk and then left to sit at room temperature can make you sick. Because it has, you know, it can divide and divide and divide and divide. And the illnesses, so before pasteurization became widespread, a lot, you know, then you have to think about the era, which we're talking, you know, pre-19th century, so there's a lot of really bad infectious diseases going around, like Typhoid Mary, you know, is still in the future, like things like that. And still, about a third or so of human illness was caused by contaminated milk. So pasteurization was like this huge advance and really dropped the amount of... was one of the big things that stopped people just being sick as often as they were. And so and now we're about to drink raw milk.
Yeah, like, it's like this seems... It's reminding me of the couple of kids, Jehovah's Witnesses, that have died recently because of it's this like retro kind of craze that is kind of contrary to human life and progress.
Yeah, I mean, on the other side, you have the other side, the people who refuse to go through the vaccination series. And that's just been debunked over and over again. I mean, there's always some risk to everything. But in truth, you know, you think about, you know, mumps versus the risk you have of getting the vaccination. And I think it balances out in favor. I get a flu shot every year. Like, I just, you know, I'm willing to take those risks. And they're pretty small risks. And so it seems kind of nutty to me, too. You think about... You know, my parents are old enough. I think your parents are old enough to remember what it was like to get mumps and measles and all these, like, the five childhood illnesses that now, even chickenpox. I had chickenpox, and now, like you know, kids now never have chickenpox, never have shingles.
Kids got it so easy.
They do. It's so wonderful now. So, I mean, and so, yeah, I don't quite get it. And I wish I could give an answer to that, and I tried to figure it out, and it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm probably... not the audience of people who are like, you know what would really be great with this milk? A little bit more salmonella.
It's kind of like an extreme sport for, like, lazy people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, You can do be death-defying without ever leaving the couch with milk and cookies. I just want to give a little meta moment here. The tech-savvy youth has been downing the raw goat milk as we've been talking here with aplomb, as we're talking about increasingly dire consequences. And so we're going to enjoy this, and she's sort of our canary in the coal mine here. So are we going to partake?
I guess so. I've never had goat's milk. Less raw goat's milk.
Cheers.
Except that time I suckled from that goat.
And it tastes pretty much like milk. I mean, there's not much different from it.
It's true.
I mean, in truth, this is bought from a local dairy, and it's in dates, and it didn't smell bad when we opened it up, and it's probably safer than a meal at, like, IHOP, I would be my imagine, particularly,
and
like...
Just the right amount of pus in there.
Just the right amount of pus to really make it a good dining experience. So...
Yeah, that was my first raw milk experience, and the last time you toyed with this, you learned a terrible lesson, what, 12 hours later?
Yeah, it took about, 12, 24 hours. I had a little headache, nausea, a tiny bit of fever, and I'm hoping whatever was in there I have now have antibodies to, and I can now fightfully, fight it off without getting so ill. I'm hoping actually it's not actually contaminated, but now there'll be three of us, or four or five, who will be horribly ill for...
So we should check in like 9:30 tonight.
Yeah, call.
Send text messages.
Yeah. who's vomiting and who's not vomiting. So, I don't know. Is there a health risk in a raw milk latte? Probably not, but it's probably not worth the risk. I mean, I don't... This isn't like a transformative experience. Every time I've had raw milk, I've never felt... Like, my life has been changed. It's for the better.
Okay, here's a total layman question. But could the steaming it of the latte work as a de facto pasteurization?
Yeah. But then you have this tricky thing. If you let the bacteria grow for a bunch of time and then you kill them off... So you have to pasteurize early. If you let them grow, they have all this toxins built up in the milk. So that's what got me, I think, in my little smoothie, is the preformed toxin from Staph aureus. And so... again, science ruins all of the pleasurable things in life. So you sit and you can actually contemplate what's happening to you in exquisite detail. But I'm not so convinced about the pasture. It's probably better than just drinking as we are, cold out of a plastic container. But no. But you would kind of maybe know that the milk was bad, hopefully, before you got into it. I've had a bad latte from pasteurized milk that's been left out at a coffee shop that will remain nameless as well. On the hill, and that was not a good experience. That's kind of the wonderful thing. I mean, those are all these taste senses we never use, like sour and bitter, and we just don't experience as much, in American culture. And like, you realize when you have a bad glass of milk, like why they exist. Like, it's definitely a visceral response to eating something that's not right anymore.
All right, it's not quite inoculating, getting the antibodies. You bring this up in your column. About mammal mothers licking their kids, and that's the way of figuring out what their kids are infected with, putting it in their bodies, and then antibodies get in the milk?
Yeah, and there's actually a special kind of antibody just for breast milk, and it gets pumped out, and it's connected with the sensors, the lymph tissue in the mouth, right? So like when the mother licks or kisses the child, it's all hooked together, and it's kind of an amazing process, it puts a whole new image on the idea of, like, when you see parents kissing their kids or whatever, like, kissing the forehead, and feel a little player piano-ish when I, like, think about this stuff. But in fact, in the other immune cells in milk are really interesting. There's like a whole special class of bacteria gobbling cells that just exist in milk and go around eating up stuff and keeping it clean. And so it's sort of like you can almost think about natural pasteurization. You know what I mean? Like, if a little bacteria get in the breast milk, they actually get eaten up in the child's gut before they can cause a lot of damage, for the most part. Now, clearly, when you buy commercial cow's milk off the shelf, those are long since dead, and even unpasteurized, like this unpasteurized raw goat milk we have, I doubt there's any living cells left in it. But we don't think about milk. And the other fun thing about milk, so milk's a relatively new evolutionary invention. Mammals, like, this is our whole big new thing we breed upon the world is milk. And milk actually comes from modified sweat glands. And yum. So, yeah, isn't that kind of amazing? Like, it's a special kind of sweat gland, and again, it shows you how wonderfully evolution works, right? You're like, you know, we could reuse these for something else.
Yeah,
so.
Sustained by sweat. Ugh. Yeah.
We'll have this be a blissfully short one here. Thank you, listeners, for downloading yet another Dear Science podcast. You can read my column every other week at thestranger.com. Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. And thanks for the goat milk.